Let me get my notes ready.
That'd be nice if you could prepared for once.
Google search Wilco and family lyrics.
Yeah, it's just, minor thing I ask of you.
Okay, that needs to be the intro right there.
In this season of giving, could you give me just a little preparedness? Thank you.
Okay. All right. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Wilco the Podcast. Morgan, how you doing?
Doing swell, Lance. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. This guy has been a busy little bee with the holiday season.
Yeah, well, it's that time of year, end of the year deadlines, family obligations, all kind of comes together in these last few weeks. But, always got to make time for Wilco the Podcast. So here we are doing the thing. How have things been in your neck of the woods?
Trying to do some festive things, Friendsgiving, Friendsmas, all that fun stuff.
Well, and you also hit up Black Friday Record Store Day, right?
I did. I snagged, and I put that on the Insta, but I snagged Rilo Kiley's Under the Blacklight, first time available on vinyl.
You're a big Rilo Kiley fan.
I'm a huge Rilo Kiley fan. In fact, I feel kind of guilty admitting this, but I think I like Rilo Kiley better than Jenny Lewis's solo stuff.
Ooh, don't tell Jenny that.
I know that's a very unpopular take, but yeah, you weren't able to make it out this time.
Well, I don't know. Black Friday, I have feelings on in general, but it's a day after Thanksgiving. I'm not going to, unless there's something I really want to get, I'm probably not going to get up at the crack of dawn and stand in line.
Fair.
When I do record store day, like the typical like April, like official one, if I'm not doing that with you or, someone here locally, I don't know. For me, it's about the doing it with friends. And
yeah, I will say, I think I've been thinking about this because of Jeff Tweedy's latest book, but I was thinking about the investment that you put into music that you love. And I was thinking about this as I was standing for about 45 minutes on Black Friday in about 25-ish degree weather, is snowing, freezing. And I, it's an album, Under the Blacklight by Rilo Kiley. It's an album I've previously owned on CD. I've heard it a lot of times. And yet standing out, like braving the cold in order to get my hands on, the vinyl version, it felt like I am really
committed.
I'm roughing it for this thing. Yeah. And it's such a different experience than clicking play on, your browser or the totally. Spotify app.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm a sucker for that kind of thing. So yeah. Anyway, great time. I hope if any of you guys made it out, hope you got what you were looking for. As Morgan and I know, that's not always a given.
Yeah. Record Store Day is a lot of fun. I don't think I've ever done the Black Friday Record Store Day because I feel like the list is usually more abbreviated.
Yeah.
And there's not as many titles to sink my teeth into, but
totally.
I'm always down for Record Store Day, especially when I'm out there in Denver. You're here in Chicago. So
let's hook it up, man.
Lance, this is also the time of the year when if you're a Spotify listener or user, you're gonna get your Spotify Wrapped. It's always pretty fun to kind of see what the algorithm spits out for you.
That's right.
So I thought we could start this podcast by breaking down our Spotify Wrapped here a little bit.
Let's do it. I'm excited.
Okay. Well, I thought this was pretty funny. So this year they did a new statistic that it was like a city that matched your musical tastes. And I will preface this by saying I have a 7-year-old. So we listen to a lot of show tunes, a lot of Disney. And so my town was Provo, Utah.
Wow.
I said fans of the Muppets, Alan Menken, who I think is a composer for...
Yeah, he did Little Mermaid, yeah.
Yeah, some Disney music.
I thought that there was an overload on Burlington.
Vermont, yep.
Yeah, Burlington, Vermont, thank you. I thought that everybody got Burlington as the city. I thought like something messed up, but...
There was like a triangle of like indie rock, like college towns.
Yes. So, all right, well, yeah, Burlington Provo. And...
Provo, Utah, yep. Shout out to Provo. All right. So I mentioned Dennison Whitmer on our last episode because I sing Dennison Whitmer to my daughter before she goes to sleep. We've also been listening to his 2005 album, Are You a Dreamer, a lot at bedtime. And so it's no surprise. My top artist of the year was Dennison Whitmer. I was in the top 0.01% fan base and spent almost 4,500 minutes listening to Dennison Whitmer.
Wow.
And all of my top songs were songs from Are You a Dreamer?
So that made me wonder, like, are you putting that album on as your daughter goes to sleep?
Yes.
Every night?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. So the stats are a little skewed that way. I mean, I've been a Dennison fan for a long time, since the college days.
Yeah.
My wife actually interviewed him way back in the day when she was an undergrad.
Wow.
So shout out to Dennison Whitmer. If you are unfamiliar, check out Are You a Dreamer? He collabed with Sufjan Stevens for a song or two. It's a great, great album.
Dennison would be a great addition, I think, to Solid Sound.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, if you think about like people like Sam Amadon who've performed there.
Right. I think that's why, because the Sam Amadon connection with Wilco, I always think that's cool, but it's one that I would not have anticipated. And if they like Sam Amadon, you know, hey, come on, Dennison Whitmer would fit right in.
Yeah, let's get him there. Let's start a petition. Lance, who is your top? Who's your top artist? Should I take a?
I'll give you one guess, Morgan.
Was it Disney's Wish?
Oh, that's good.
No, we all know who it was. Yeah.
I'll give you a hint. I was in the top 0.1% of listeners worldwide. Does it go any higher than that, by the way?
I was 0.01 for Dennis.
Oh, they do go higher. Okay. Wow.
You just got to listen to Wilco at bedtime every night.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeff Tweedy sing you to sleep.
Those of us that had Wilco as a top listener, actually, you got this too, but on Spotify Wrapped, we got a little recording of Jeff Tweedy saying hello, telling us to go listen to Cousin more. That was a nice surprise. They've never done that on Spotify Wrapped before.
I should clarify that my second place top artist was Wilco.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me.
We started the podcast this year. I've been listening to Wilco a lot more. And then also, you know, Cousin was released. I think my top Wilco month was September, which makes sense because Cousin came out in September.
Hmm.
And then I'll just rattle off. So I had Dennison, Wilco, The National came in third. Coming in fourth, I don't even know how to pronounce this. Aretha Kuchmi.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Big Aretha fan.
She plays at Solid Sound, you know?
Oh, yeah. Let's get her there.
Mm-hmm.
Or he. I don't know. My daughter is a big fan of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe musical.
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Yeah. Thanks for clarifying. No, she found...
go ahead and cut that part
she
out.
Found... No, we're keeping that. She found it. She found this musical. I don't know. She like took my phone and searched it on her own. And I think when you were here, Lance, back in March, we were listening to this thing on repeat.
Yeah.
It's an experience.
It's a banger.
Yeah.
Liberate the Statues is a Liberate is a real the Statues. Hit.
Check it out. You'll know what we're talking about.
Yeah, you will.
And then rounding out my top five was Slow Pulp, Chicago band. They're actually going to be opening for Death Cab and the Postal Service next year when they extend their tour for the Transatlanticism Give Up anniversary tour. So there you go. A little bit of influence from my daughter, a little bit of influence from me. But yeah, my Spotify Wrapped is always a little skewed having a 7-year-old in the house.
I love it. I was expecting more, to be honest. I think maybe in yesteryear there has been a little more skewing.
Yeah.
That happened with your Spotify?
Yeah, there's been, yeah. Like Moana, I think, was up there for a while. Frozen, you know, okay. The classics.
Yeah, heck yeah.
But yeah, Wilco coming in strong there with The National.
National is number two for me, followed by Taylor Swift. Number four, Boy Genius. Number five, Phoebe Bridgers, which I imagine... I never realized I listened to that much Phoebe Bridgers. I think it's probably when you listen to Boy Genius, I think she is also tagged. Them as individuals are tagged.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's on multiple tracks from the Nationals albums
True.
Of 2023. Morgan, I didn't anticipate this, but my top song of the year, I thought it was going to be Laugh Track by the National because I just adore that song. Number one was Evicted, followed by New Order T-shirt by the National, and then number three was Sunlight Ends.
Nice.
Yeah.
That adds up. That all makes sense to me.
It does. It does. Apparently, I streamed Evicted 40 times.
Wow. You must have been pretty amped for Cousin.
I think so. Then it went into podcasts. My number three top podcast was Woco the Podcast.
That was my number two. That was my number two.
Hey, nice. You
know, just a little peek behind the curtain. So we edit these things, or I edit these things.
I do most of the editing.
Yeah. I mean, feel free, man. I usually give them like a spot check and I send it over to you. But then I end up usually listening to it all the way through for sometimes the second time on Spotify, just because there's like this OCD part of me that's like, I need to hear it on the platform to make sure nothing got screwed up in the upload or something like that. So
I need to make sure that Lance didn't go in and edit it.
Let's make sure Lance didn't change anything.
Yeah.
Woco the Podcast. Coming just below Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. Shout out.
Hey, nice.
Shout out to Conan. I know he's listening to this. Then I had Pop Culture Happy Hour. And then Mike Birbiglia's Working It Out. And then rounding out the list was Smartless. So.
Oh, yeah. They were my number one. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Look at us go.
I'm surprised Kate LeBond didn't sneak into my top artist because I was listening to a lot of Kate LeBond earlier this year, especially Pompeii. I had that on repeat for weeks. So I'm kind of surprised Slow Pulp beat her out, but I have been listening to a lot of Slow Pulp. So.
Yeah. Do you want to sell us on Slow Pulp? I've actually never heard them.
So Slow Pulp just released a new album called Yard, and that was released actually the same day as Cousin, September 29th.
Hey, nice. Yeah.
Variety calls it one of the best rock albums of the year. They are a Chicago via, I want to say Madison, Wisconsin band.
Via Chicago.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I can recommend like a starting point.
Great.
The song Broadview is fantastic off their new album. Slugs is another great song. Yeah, they can rock out. They can also do a great slow track. And their previous album was called Movies, MOVEYS. That was also fantastic. So check them out. They're solid.
Had never heard of them until you. So really cool.
Yeah, I don't remember where I heard of them. It might have just been like by way of, these are artists that you might also like because you listen to XYZ.
Well, this is a great teaser for our next episode, our last episode of 2023, we are going to deviate from talking about Woco slightly, and we are going to be talking about our favorite albums from the year. So this Spotify Wrapped conversation will become a little more extended.
Yeah, and Spotify Wrapped, I gotta say, maybe is not indicative of what I would call my top albums of the year. So
yeah.
So that'll be fun. A little departure next time. Yeah.
Right. And exactly. We don't even talk about like the albums that we hear on vinyl or my iPod.
Right.
But yeah.
Let's get into it here. You picked the theme tonight. Break it down for us. What are we talking about?
Yeah. Thank you. So obviously if you've queued this up, you've probably seen the title of the episode. We were talking about family. I think I chose this, Morgan, because of the time of year. We're all probably seeing some form of family during this time of year. And so it felt like a good time to dig into that. And it felt like a good follow-up to gratitude because...
There's a lot of overlap some ways. Yep.
I'll kick us off, but just to kind of pull the curtain back a little bit, you and I were texting as we chose this theme. And it seemed like for a little while, we both had a little bit of a struggle digging into the topic. And I'm curious what your take is on why that might have been.
Well, for me, I think there are a lot of songs that I would have chosen for family that I picked on other episodes. On and On and On is one that came to mind, a song that Jeff wrote for his dad about his mom when she passed away. I mean, a lot of these songs could go into different themes. There's been a lot of overlap. So it, for me, it was hard to kind of find something fresh to pull. So I'll get to my approach for tonight, but I kind of did things a little bit differently tonight.
Cool. Cool. That's what this guy does. I love it. We're here for it.
And how about you? What was challenging about family for you?
Well, I guess I should say it wasn't for lack of songs to choose. It was more what is processed about family in mm-hmm. each of the songs. I wasn't sure which direction I wanted to like really sit and digest the topic of family
sure.
about. But I think I found a couple that I'm really excited to talk about. I'll shout out a few that I passed on. Summer Teeth has a couple. She's a Jar.
My Fragile Family Tree.
Yeah, exactly. My Darling. All right, well, let's get into it. My first choice is from Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, which, Morgan, I frequently say this is my favorite album of all time, and I rarely choose songs from it. So I kind of leaned into this one. We're going to go with track 2 from the album called Camera with a K.
I need a camera to my eye, reminding which lies that I've been hiding, which echoes belong.
I have a random memory associated with this. Like, I think I was in like a freshman in high school, which makes sense because that was right around the time this album came out. I made like a mix CD. I'm sorry, Wilco. I think I downloaded this from like Napster or something.
You know, it was originally released streaming before it was physical. So
really? Yeah. I think I had heard about Yankee Hotel Foxtrot as like, this is an album you need to know about. And I just picked a random track and then I downloaded Camera and wow. It was just on this mix CD I made. And so I heard that song a lot. That was pre-Ghost is Born, obviously. So Camera was like maybe my first introduction to Wilco.
I did not know that.
Now maybe. That I think about it, yeah.
Are you just now putting that together in this
yeah.
moment?
Yeah, first intro to Wilco, yeah.
Wow, it's a great intro song to Wilco. Like I hear it and I'm like, oh, I immediately connect with it. Let me say this before I dig into family and Camera, I found this quote from The Atlantic about Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, but it does kind of speak to what we're talking about. This is Spencer Kornhaber from The Atlantic. He says, quote, Yankee Hotel Foxtrot's triumph was in how it captured a facet of human nature, the way we all send signals, hoping that someone will understand them, but also anxious about what happens when someone does. You'll sometimes hear the album get called cryptic or self-conscious or difficult. And that's fine. It's really a soundtrack for the ways in which people ask to be misunderstood, end quote. I do see that in this song, but I will be honest, I'm not totally sure what the song means. And maybe that's part of its appeal. Chris DeVille, writing for Stereogum on the 20th anniversary of Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, he says this about the lyrics. Quote, Tweedy's lyrics can be hard to parse, but they make perfect sense emotionally. His deepest anxieties translated into verbal Rorschach blots, end quote. And I would say, I think that is very much true here, that it doesn't make sense totally, but emotionally, something clicks there. The way that I understand the song is that it seems to be highlighting a feeling of disorientation and that the request for the listener of the song to phone the singer's family and tell them that he seems lost. He's trying to find some way to regain stability. This led to a lot of introspection for me just thinking about this. I think this dynamic of, hey, call my family. I think that's true of a lot of our families. We might have disagreements, we might have different values, expectations of each other, etc. But for many of us, I'm not going to say all of us, but for many of us, deep down, whenever there is that sense that your family would be able to help ground you and remind you of where you came from, that is such a comforting thought. You know, because we're not really let into what type of relationship this person has with their family. It's just like they're so broken down or disoriented. It's like, call my family, get them, you know, get them on the phone. I'm lost. Verse 2 goes on to reference the lies that the singer's been hiding. And then there's also a quote, memories distort. And he says he's counting on a heart I know by heart, which the way that's worded, that's just such a cool line. Heart I know by heart. And yet, even having that connection, that won't quite cut it. And I read this, Morgan, I don't know about you, I read this as a reference to himself, the heart I know by heart, and his reliance on himself to help walk him through this war. But there is distortion around that. And it feels messy and confusing. And that's where that line would come in. Phone my family. Tell them I'm lost. I just want to say this is a vulnerable confession. Tell them I'm lost. I think not all of us feel the freedom to share that kind of vulnerability with our families.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm repeating myself here, but I do get the sense that this singer is so disoriented that it doesn't feel relevant to how this confession might be perceived to the family. Like I don't get the sense that this person is afraid of being judged or critiqued. It just feels bad enough that whatever's going on, this person needs help, even with making the phone call to the family. You know, he's not the one saying, I'm going to call my family. It's like, hey, listener, call my family. That's pretty vulnerable, I would say. Morgan, in preparation for this episode, I was reflecting on the complicated relationships that we all might have with our families. You know, some of us might adore our families and you know, kind of think they can do no wrong. Others of us have been hurt and confused by our families. Some of us might even feel bitter towards family. And when I hear camera, I found myself feeling comforted and also challenged to consider Jeff Tweedy's relationship with his family.
His family with Susie or his parents?
Family of origin. Yeah.
Yes.
Parental family. You and I have dug into in his books or in interviews, he's reflected on how his mother probably was fostering a pretty codependent relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his dad struggled with alcoholism and that is not what he seems to often highlight. You referenced some of these songs earlier, but I think about other songs he's written, On and On and On, or Don't Forget from his solo album, or Orphan. While he doesn't shy away from difficult topics in his songs, critiquing his family's faults is not something he chooses to write about frequently. And I get the sense that that comes from a place of grace and deep acceptance of them. And I think that's where the challenge and the comfort comes from. That I find myself wanting to be like that when I think about my family, when I speak about my family. I've got some more thoughts, but I want to see what comes up for you with this.
The last verse, I'm counted out and no one knows how far I've driven in the dark. It's like, does his family know how far he's driven in the dark?
Mm-hmm.
Or to your point, is this like, someone call my family. I need to confess like how far I've gone off the deep end.
Yeah.
Either way, it seems like he's expecting his family to kind of rescue him from this darkness.
Almost like an anchor.
Yeah. No matter if they know what he's going through or they're just finding out.
Which, that brings up an interesting dynamic with families that sometimes you want to let them know, hey, I'm lost. And you may not want to go into more detail than that. It's just like, I'm not okay.
Yeah. And the imagery of like a camera, to me, that kind of, you know, references memories or nostalgia, maybe pieces of childhood events captured through the camera, whether it's a video camera or a photo camera. And maybe it's like, I need to remind myself of what I used to be in these in these memories. I need, you know, what lies have I been hiding about myself? I need my family to bring me back to my true self.
Yeah. And I want to say this just to kind of play the field, because talking about family, you know, it's possible, like I said earlier, a lot of people are going to love talking about family because it's such a comforting dynamic. And other people, this could be a difficult episode to listen to. I will say, Morgan, I have heard some horrific stories about parents and families in the counseling room.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I would not want to universally promote the message of staying close or connected to your family for every person. Some people need to let the familial relationships go because, you know, they're not safe or healthy for them. I would say for me personally, I'm coming to a place of recognizing that my family, for all their weaknesses and challenging dynamics, it is a beautiful thing to have in my life. And sometimes it takes coming to a place of vulnerability, like where the singer is at in Camera, in order to recognize that. Phone my family and tell them I'm lost on the sidewalk. A few other things about this. I found a quote from in How to Write One Song by Tweedy. He says, quote, every song should make some effort to connect. Songs are pleas. It's all about reaching out and pulling in, or pushing out and looking in equal and unequal amounts, end quote. And I just thought, oh, Camera, like that's a perfect quote for that, because he's literally making a plea to connect with his family. You asked earlier, how am I reading this? Is it Tweedy's family of origin, his parents, or is it, Susie and the kids? And I thought about how different this song would feel if it was intended for Susie and the kids. The song would take a really, really different, and I would say really tragic tone, I think, if this was phone my family, tell them I'm lost, and he's saying that as husband or father. Last thing I'll say, this song, Camera, exists in several different iterations. There is a version called Camera with a C that is part of the Alpha Mike Foxtrot version. That's the big collection of rarities and whatnot. It's like a rocked out, fuzzy version, almost like grunge or something. I got to hear it live, which was really cool. Never heard Camera with a K. Never heard that live. Would love to hear it live. And then if you get your hands on the deluxe edition of Yankee Hotel Foxtrot, there's a few versions of that out there. So yeah, I love where they ended with the final version. I mean, it's just couldn't have gotten any better. All right, Morgan, let's turn it over to you. Big dog.
Big Dog Morgan, back on the pod. All right. I'm going to do things a little differently tonight. I'm going to look at two albums, and I'm not going to go song by song, but I picked two different albums as a way to identify two different types of family units, if you will, associated with Jeff Tweedy. When I say two different types of families, so, you know, we have our assigned families, our families of origin, or the families that, you know, we create, you know, with a partner. And then we also have families that we create through friendships or life circumstances.
Cheers.
Yeah. And I think both can impact us in different ways, positively or negatively, as you talked about with Camera. So for this episode, I want to take a look at Jeff Tweedy's family with Susie, Spencer, and Sammy, as well as the quote unquote family he's created with his fellow bandmates of Wilco. So this first pick, Lance, is going to be a little rosier outlook on what a family can be than perhaps Camera was.
Who chose that dark choice?
No, that's why before we started recording, listeners, I was like, Lance, I need you to kind of bring in like the darkness, because my picks are kind of a little bubblegum. Anyway, with that in mind, tonight we're going to take two different albums and we're going to take two songs from each of these albums that personify Tweedy's Wilco family and Tweedy's actual immediate family, and how both families have led to a unique creative outcomes in different ways. So for my first pick, we're going to look at The Whole Love, the 2011 album. Talking to the Chicago Tribune in 2016, Tweedy said, quote, "The Whole Love as a record, just in general, in the lifespan of this lineup, is where Wilco and all the individual members of Wilco finally got the most comfortable with being in Wilco. Having a band that everyone started at different times other than John and myself, it took a little bit of time for everybody to let go of the fact that they were playing some other person's parts or that they're coming into this thing that's already defined." Then he goes on to say, "The Whole Love to me is the first record where it really feels like all the different personalities are allowing themselves to be their own personalities." So I'll just stop there. I think that's kind of the most idealized outcome of what a family has the potential to be. A combination of different personalities being accepted and complementing one another. Of course, this is not always the case, and it's probably actually pretty rare, sadly. But I think what we see in The Whole Love, as Tweedy is referring to here, is a band finally being comfortable in their own skin and allowing themselves to be the individual best versions of themselves to create something unique and special, and to create something only this particular group of individuals could produce.
Yeah, totally. I've said before that I think that The Whole Love is maybe the most definitive version of this current iteration of the band. I think that just like encapsulates them at their peak. And probably a lot of that is due to Pat Sansone's producing with that. But I think shout they sound fantastic on this album. Yeah.
Yeah. So Tweedy goes on in the same article to call out Art of Almost. He said, quote, "Art of Almost is the strange combination of all the different members putting their mark on something and having it still somehow hold up to be a thing." So let's go ahead and take a listen to Art of Almost. I heard a thing, ole, you love, but I had other ways to help myself. Like calling, I could open up my heart and fall, and I could blame it all on dust. Art of Almost. Yeah, Lance, this is up there for you, right? One of your favorites?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. I've never heard a song quite like it.
Well, maybe that's feeds my point here a little bit, because it's an amazing showcase of the entire band working in unison. They could just come out of the gate so confident on this album. And I can understand what Jeff means when he says you can kind of feel the different personalities of the band members coming together. Tweedy has said that this song was a very, quote, real studio sculpture type collaboration. And I believe they spent, honestly, months honing this song, adding and taking away bits and pieces to get it to where it ended up. I think the bass and the drum beat were established earlier on and kind of ended up being the core. But yeah, they kind of really fine-tuned this song. Yeah, so from what I've read, Art of Almost kind of seems like, you know, the first time again, Wilco is, you know, really settling in and taking chances together as a unit. And, you know, you mentioned Pat Sansone produced this album. I think that says it right there. And also, this was the first time they produced an album on their own label. So, taking chances together. Okay, and then the second sample I want to play from The Whole Love is Dawned on Me. So let's give that a listen here. I've been young, I've been old, I've been hurt and consoled. Heart of cold, heart of gold, so I'm told. I've been lost, I've been found, I've been taken by the sound of my own voice, the voices in my head. I can't help it if I fall in love with you again. I'm calling another highlight of the album for me. Tweedy has said about this song, he said this to Mojo Magazine, "It's one of those songs that as you listen to it, the heels on your shoes start growing and the bottom of your pants start to flare." So I think he loves playing this song live. They play it quite often, and we even got to hear it at Mission Ballroom back in October.
Yes.
Tweedy has said that this song is about his long-lasting marriage to Susie. So there you go. There's the meaning of it right there. But I'm going to go out on a major limb here, knowing that this is totally my own alternate interpretation. But I think you could also read Dawned on Me as Tweedy almost renewing his vows for Wilco, so to speak.
Whoa, tell me more.
Just to take an excerpt from the lyrics, Tweedy sings, "I've been lost, I've been found, I've been taken by the sound of my own voice, the voices in my head. I can't help it if I fall in love with you again. I'm calling just to let you know it dawned on me." I read the "I've been lost, I've been found, and being taken by the sound of voices in his head" as reflecting maybe on his overcoming addiction or that period of his life with intense migraines. I think the "you" Tweedy is referring to here could be the band itself. He can't help that he's falling in love with Wilco again. So if you go back and look at the original quote I shared, that this is the album where Tweedy thinks everyone became the most comfortable being in Wilco, maybe that kind of set off a renewed love of this whole endeavor for him. So Lance, maybe it's a stretch to bring this all back to the theme of family, but I don't really think it is when you consider that, again, being part of a family in the best, least dysfunctional way, at least. That means accepting one another and bringing out the best in each other. And I think that's what Tweedy is saying they did with the whole love.
It reminds me of a quote in Jeff Tweedy's memoir, Let's Go So We Can Get Back. And he's talking about how if a band ever becomes something that becomes detrimental to his family, then it would be irresponsible of him to continue the relationship. It's almost like, let's recognize the priorities here. What he's cultivated with Wilco as a unit is a quote-unquote family that they just seem highly respectful of each other's well-being and their boundaries.
Yeah.
And that's probably why you get a song like Dawned on Me. It's so joyous and I'm just happy and I'm calling to let you know it dawned on me I love you. And
I love when I get those calls from you.
Once an hour, yeah.
All right, Lance, get us back on track here. I'm just pontificating on my own interpretations over here.
I love it. The listeners are here for it.
we'll see. The numbers will tell the truth.
My last choice of the night comes from Ode to Joy, and it is the closing track from the album. It's called An Empty Corner.
Eight tiny lines of cocaine left on a copy machine in an empty corner of a dream. My sleep could not complete. There are sirens and the birds, and you and I are too far apart. And my eyes need a shave. What else can go wrong now that
all right, so I had to have a little background info on this song, which is honestly hard to come by. Like Camera, this song is a little bit hard to parse. During an encore performance in Paris in 2019, the band performs this song, and Jeff Tweedy introduces the song. This is a quote. He says, "This is a song about when you dream things that really happened." I used to work at a liquor store where they would give us cocaine. They would put it on the copy machine, and I dreamt about it, and I woke up and I wanted cocaine, but I didn't have any. And then people laugh, and he said, I should probably not introduce it from now on. End quote. So I love that. So the fact that it's about a real life experience that kind of got morphed through Dream World, I think it sheds a little more light on this song. I chose this song obviously because family is referenced in the refrain, but I also think it implies some powerful things about one's family. Most of our listeners and fans of Wilco will be familiar with Jeff Tweedy's previous struggles with addiction. So this song obviously is a nod to substance abuse, even though cocaine wasn't his primary drug of choice during his addiction struggles. So I'm going to take a pretty literal interpretation of the song, while I'm going to recognize that there's probably a more abstract interpretation available. We're hearing from someone that's been dreaming. The singer sounds tired and worn down. I think about lyrics like, my eyes need a shave, you and I are too far apart, what else can go wrong? And then he says, now that I'm not longed for, wildlife seems wrong. And I read that, Morgan, as he's acknowledging that he's outgrown this previous phase of life, wildlife. And then we've got the anchor that he repeatedly references is, quote, you've got family out there.
You've got family out there. You've got family out there.
So while family might have served as something the singer was relying on in camera, I think An Empty Corner changes the anchor in that the singer acknowledges his own need to be reliable or responsible to family. He needs them and they need him. He later sings, I don't believe you don't care. A lot of us have faced days of doubt when we question if our loved ones actually do care about us. But this is the singer. He's kind of preaching to himself. He's reminding himself that that's not a truth he actually believes. That line, I don't believe you don't care. And then once again, we come back to the refrain, you've got family out there. Musically, I'd say this song is really beautiful. If I'm being honest, the album version does not do a lot for me. But like when I hear a live version, like the Paris recording on YouTube, we'll have to link to that. Oh my goodness, it's perfect. And I've tried to figure out like, what is it about this that I connect more with the live version? And I think it's his acoustic guitar is a little more center stage. And I just love the melody that you can hear from his strumming. And the album version feels sleepy. In fact, I was reviewing Wilco Will Love You. They did a podcast episode on this song, and they call it sleepy. And I'd say it is very sleepy. It's very sleepy. Live, it's less so, and I like it. This is one of the few songs that Tweedy directly talks about in How to Write One Song. And the part where he talks about it, he's addressing how to arrange lyrics. Apparently, the original way this song was sung was, quote, this is verse one. In an empty corner of a dream, my sleep could not complete, period. Left on a copy machine, 8 tiny lines of cocaine. And that obviously sounds different than what we've got on the album version. He writes, sometimes just taking the last line in a verse and making it the opening line can reveal something more vivid and true that was being subdued by the line's former location. And then obviously the final version is, it opens with 8 tiny lines of cocaine. And he said, this version is so much more powerful and better overall that I can't believe I ever tried to sing these lyrics in any other order. All right, Morgan, there is a really interesting article out there from Guitar World that was published in October 2023. So it's interesting. That's a new article. Ode to Joy came out in 2019. And this article highlighted 10 songs that helped popularize rubber bridge guitars. And Empty Corner is in great company. We've got Taylor Swift's Champagne Problems uses a rubber bridge guitar. We've got Phoebe Bridgers' Garden Song. We've got Olivia Rodrigo's Hope You're Okay. And An Empty Corner.
And that's it.
That's yeah. Yeah. The number 10 was a lie there. It's yeah, it's just 4. Apparently Tweedy became enamored with the unique sound rubber Bridges created and how they worked with his vocal approach. And they cite this song in particular as a great indicator of its sound. And Jeff Tweedy described the sound as, quote, sort of like a ukulele and a classical guitar, end quote. He says, even though the guitar itself might be cheap, when you put a rubberized bridge on the guitar, I'm going to quote him again, they have this crazy quality that just leaves so much more room for my voice. I don't have a real sustaining voice, so I tend to like guitars that aren't showing me up, end quote. I don't feel like I have a trained enough ear to be able to pick out like, oh yeah, it's a rubber bridge. But in looking at the list, it's cool that his was one of the earlier songs released that used this rubber bridge guitar. So pretty cool.
Fun fact with Lance. All right. So in addition to looking at Wilco as a quote unquote family in their own way, I also thought it would be worthwhile to take a look at an album that showcases Jeff Tweedy's immediate family. I'm talking Susie, Spencer, and Sammy, because a lot of Tweedy's songwriting can't help but be influenced by his lived experiences, which are, of course, shared with his family. And I wanted to call this out in a friend of the pod, Tim Grierson's book, Sunken Treasure. He recounts the first time Mavis Staples and Jeff Tweedy met, and Mavis Staples said, quote, "We talked about family. That's what really got me. Because my father always stressed that family is the strongest unit in the world. The way he, Jeff Tweedy, talked about his family, his sons, his wife, he would just light up. I left feeling very comfortable with him." So it's kind of cool to just see from, you know, someone else's perspective that he takes a lot of pride and a lot of value in being a father and a husband to Susie. So my second choice of the night is the album Love is the King, a Jeff Tweedy solo album. And I picked this first of all because he literally recorded this with his sons, Sammy and Spencer, during the pandemic. And secondly, because the themes on this album, you know, love, the good and the difficult parts of it, and really the importance of human connection are very in line with what I believe are a result of the relationship that Tweedy has with his family. There's a great interview, Lance, I don't know if you've seen this, with NPR's Mary Louise Kelly. Definitely recommend checking it out, and maybe we can drop a link in the show notes. In this interview, Mary Louise Kelly is talking with Jeff and Spencer and Sammy, and they're talking about Love is the King. This was also the time that the Tweedy family started live streaming the Tweedy Show, which we've mentioned and played several clips from on this very podcast. But Mary Louise Kelly asked Spencer and Sammy if their parents had to, you know, twist their arms to participate in this live stream show. And Spencer replied, quote, "No arm twisting on my end, because when we play music on the show and it's just this simple drum kit in the living room and guitars and whatnot, that's just what Sammy, my dad, and I do for fun on other nights of the week. So it's not a hard ask." And then later on in the interview, Spencer says about writing and performing music with his dad and brother that, quote, "It's the most effortless musical relationship that I have in my life. My dad and I have been making records together for about 8 years now, and it's simply my favorite thing to do." So it's clear to see that creating music as a family is just something that comes naturally to them and something that they just love to do together. And I should say Susie isn't excluded from this. In this interview, Jeff claims that the Tweedy Show was Susie's idea, and she was kind of like the catalyst for that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, kind of behind the scenes influencer when it comes to encouraging that kind of creativity. So anyway, let's get to a song here. I want to play a sample from the track Robin or a Wren, and on this track we hear Sammy harmonizing with his dad, so let's take a listen.
Let's call when it's time for us all to say goodbye. I know I'm gonna cry. Because all in all, I'm just having a ball being alive, and I don't want to die.
Sammy says in the same NPR interview that he thinks he sounds like a younger version of his dad. I think we can agree on that. And Jeff claims that Sammy sounds like, quote, a more adorable version of me. I love hearing how the family compliments each other on this song. And then let's also look at the lyrics in this one. He sings, at the last call, when it's time for us all to say goodbye, I know I'm going to cry because all in all, I'm just having a ball being alive. And I don't want to die. At the end of the end of this beautiful dream we're in. So to me, this is Jeff singing about it, you know, this beautiful dream that he's in with his family. And he doesn't ever want it to end. He doesn't want to say goodbye to his family. Yeah, I think there's probably some overlap here with our gratefulness theme, mm-hmm. like you mentioned. But I think it's compounded by the fact that his sons are actually performing with him on this one. So I just thought that was sweet. And then another track I want to highlight here is Even I Can See. So let's take a listen to that.
If I may have your attention, please. I'll tell you about my wife and what she means to me. How fiercely she believes what she believes. I laugh and I cry, I live and I die by her side.
Morgan, this song is a standout track from this album for me.
Yeah, so I think in this song we hear one of the most straightforward lyrical moments from Jeff Tweedy. If I may have your attention, please, I'll tell you about my wife and what she means to me. It's like, okay, cool. We know this song is
So this song is about his childhood?
Tweedy goes on to sing, I laugh and I cry, I live and I die by her side. From time to time, she puts her hand in mine, holds me like a sharp, shiny key. I was never one who needed to believe in a God hard to find, but I found by her side, there's a God. So I think what Tweedy's saying here is Susie's love for him is about as unbelievable as he finds believing in a God is. And if Susie can love him like that, and if he can feel this inexpressible joy, really, then maybe there is a God, or it's as close as he'll ever feel to believing in a God. And yeah, isn't that really the core of any functioning family, really? This ability to make one another feel so supremely loved that you can almost feel like a spiritual pull. I love that Tweedy just puts it so plainly here. And yeah, there's not a lot of cryptic lyricism happening. It's kind of refreshing. And I also just want to remind ourselves of the context or the time in which this song was written. It was the beginning of the pandemic. You know, it was a really bleak time for all of us. And here Tweedy is combating this grim, bleak reality by writing about the people that give him hope and make him keep going, his family. All right, well, with this next part of the episode, Lance, I just want to talk to you about your family and, you know, what are some likes and dislikes and how can we get you more like the Tweedies?
Okay. Tonight's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you or your loved ones need help with mental health or relational struggles, be sure to click the link. Type in Welcome to the Podcast 20 for 20% off your first session with a licensed counselor.
Yeah, they're doing the Welcome to the Podcast 20 joke again.
Yeah, you know, Morgan made that originally, but now Lance is riffing off it. So, you know.
I think I ripped it off from you.
Oh, okay. Last time. Okay. It's, you know, you're right.
Let's leave the comedy to you, you know.
I appreciate that, bro. Yeah. Morgan.
Let's get this guy on the stand-up stage.
We did our last Wilco-themed app of the year.
And now I can just take the rest of the year off and make a cocktail, sit back, wait for Santa to bring me some gifts.
All right. Well, folks, hey, thanks for tuning in again. As previously mentioned, we're going to be coming back to you with one more episode, and we're going to be talking about our favorite albums from 2023. And then we'll be back in 2024 with some new eps,
some new guests.
Yeah. Yeah. We haven't had a ton of guests this time, but,
we got some in the wings, some good ones. Yeah.
All right. Well,
so for now you're stuck with us.
Yeah.
Hey, Lance, before we wrap, speaking of Spotify Wrapped, we should shout out the Wilco the Podcast stats.
Oh, and yeah.
Speaking of thanking our listeners.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. Let me pull those up. Yeah. We're really grateful. Morgan, it's funny. I'm pulling the stats just to keep in mind. This is just from Spotify, which, I think we actually have more listeners from Apple Podcasts, among other platforms. But just from Spotify, we have 31 top fans. And I think what that means is that
our family's listening.
Oh, man. Hey, family, thanks. This episode is dedicated to you. No, but that means that for 31 people, this was their top podcast they listened to on Spotify. Your wife being one of them. Thank you, Allison. And then we've got 92 listeners where we were in their top five most listened to podcasts of the year. And then from 131 listeners, we were in their top 10 most listened to podcasts. So we saw these numbers. We were flattered. We know there's a lot of great podcasts out there that you could be listening to. And the fact that we made your top 10 or five or one, I don't even know what to say, Morgan. Just humbled by that.
Gratitude. Thanks. Thankfulness.
That's right.
For the Wilco the Podcast family. I'm just throwing out our theme.
Oh, wow.
Buzzwords.
That's good. All right.
And yeah, it'll be an official full year of this coming up, Lance, in a couple of weeks, honestly.
Coming up in Feb.
Well, no, January.
Was it really?
It was January, oh, wow. Yeah. I'm glad one of us is keeping track.
All right, folks. Well, thanks for tuning in and talking family. We're going to go ahead and wrap it. And this is the part where we are going to stop the episode recording by saying goodbye.
Lance, why haven't you been closing out every single episode?
This is the end of the episode.
Man, AI technology.
Wow, that's really cool, man.
Hey, ChatGPT, write an outro for Wilco the Podcast.
Affirmative.
All right,
dude, please, I have to go to bed.
I'm going to cue the outro music right now.